The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, that's a drag. That's a drag. That's a drag. But we'll move past that. We have a some kind of a disc that's skipping or slipping. Paul Tubby Lane is going to join us. And Mr. Lane is a professional sports car driver, special race driver, not a sports car. He drives in the stock car class. We have invited him on the program. Mr. Lane, we've actually been sort of chasing him a little bit for the last 6 months because of the story. He did not want to come on the air with us. He's finally granting us, an interview. We are not going to mention the sanctioning body that he is a part of. That is the sanctioning body that promotes and otherwise oversees the particular races that he's involved in. It is a major stock car racing sanctioning body. And we thank you for joining us tonight, Mr. Lane.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for agreeing to some of these things. It's been a very difficult year for me.
And we did verify, by the way, Paul, for the audience's information, we did verify your story independently. And we did ask you several months ago to come on our program, and you were reluctant.
Well, there's a lot that has to do with the litigation, the case, Phil, as well as the racing season that I was engaged in. But I also was, I wasn't interested in doing any media because these things get blown out of proportion a little bit.
So why did you decide to come on our show?
Well, I wanted to set the record straight. People don't know a lot about auto racing. They certainly don't know the inner workings of the sport.
All right, to let people know, you were involved in a stock car race in Barker, South Dakota last July. This was at the Barker Speedway. One of the drivers there, a guy by the name of Kent Lockhart, was driving a couple of car lengths behind you. He was killed when his car went off of the speedway track.
Well, if I could interrupt you for a minute here.
It's not that I don't want to give you your fair share, but I just wanted to kind of get up to speed on you know, why you're on the program.
Well, when you say that you make it sound as if I was responsible for his death, I also want to point out that this was during a part of the weekend. It was called a qualifying, group qualifying. Our sanctioning body has the cars go out on a track to qualify in competition. It's not a do-or-die moment. There are four different qualifying races.
All right. I don't want to make it sound like you're responsible for this man's death, sir, and I apologize. But didn't you tell me the race organizers and promoters, that's what's done? What happened was, is it something that you did during that qualifying race that drivers do to help people relax, to help the other drivers relax?
Yeah, let me explain, Phil. Major auto racing, motorsports, is not like any other sport in the world. There is, at all times, a very serious risk of injury and death. We're not talking about going out and playing a little, you know, basketball game or something like that. I mean, we're talking about a sport where every night you could die. And we do things as drivers to relax each other and to relax ourselves. It's been going on as long as there's been stock car racing, you know, the last 15 or 20 years. And so you need to understand this.
All right. Well, but in July, it was the July 4th weekend, you were at a major speedway.
That's correct. The Barker Speedway in Barker.
All right. And you were qualifying along with the other drivers.
That is correct. I was there with the Boulevard Insurance team. We were in one of the qualifying races. Kent's car was behind mine. And every day I think if he had been more experienced, I guess, if he'd just been a better driver, he'd be alive.
Well, tell me what happened.
Well, to know what happened, you need to know that drivers do these things all the time. They are harmless pranks that I said help us to deal with the danger of motor racing. I've done, I've done silly things like drop a sardine in a guy's seat, or sometimes you throw confetti out the window.
Is this during the qualifying race?
That is correct.
Isn't that dangerous, throwing something out the window?
No, you're talking about experienced drivers, men who this kind of prank. I mean, with experience, I've done things during a qualifying race just to loosen the tension. I threw a folding chair out the window of my car one time, and the guys get a laugh out of that.
All right, so let's get to Barker. Last 4th of July, you're there.
Well, it was on a Friday of the weekend.
All right, and you were in a qualifying race.
We were qualifying. I started in the second row. I started in the second row of our qualifying group, and Kent was a couple of rows back. And the cars take off, and we get up to speed. And so I had organized with Dale Weber, who's our pit chief. I said, let's have some fun. And we have a saying. He says, what's for kicks? And that means, what are we going to do for laughs this weekend? I said, well, I got an idea. I brought a baby seat and a cabbage doll from home. It was my son's baby seat and got a cabbage doll that my daughter had. And he rigged up the cabbage patch doll inside this baby seat. We put it in the roll cage behind my seat.
And for people that don't know, what is a roll cage?
Roll cage is the cockpit of the car.
Okay. That's where the driver sits.
That is correct. So, and we want to do something for laughs, and so Kent In fact, Kent had played a joke on me and Casper. I don't know if I can say.
Kent had played this. The driver played a joke on you?
Yes, he did.
What did he do?
Well, it's a little adult.
Go ahead.
He took what we found out was a used condom, and he wrapped it around the microphone of the headset that we have in our helmet when we're communicating with the pits.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he got me pretty good on that one, you know. So, I wanted to get him good, so we put the seat in, and when we got up to speed on the second lap, Dell had rigged up a kind of a release on a spring mechanism. I pulled the release, and the baby seat with a cabbage doll shoots out the back of the roll cage. And I looked in my mirror, and the baby seat hit Kent's car full flush on the front, but the cabbage doll got loose from its restraints, and the cabbage doll was flung flat into the windshield, which blocked Kent's view. And an experienced driver, that's not going to faze him at all, but I saw Kent's car did leave the speedway. But I told the people, I told Rocky Hill, who's the head of emergency services, I saw Kent in my rearview mirror. I knew he was smiling. I knew he was laughing.
But Mr. Lockhart's car went off the speedway, hit a couple of retaining walls. It caught fire and set a police car on fire, right?
I think it hit a police car, yeah.
And by the time they got to him, the roll cage had torn free from the car, disintegrated, right?
The car disintegrated, yeah, and it was a tragedy.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul Tubby Lane, a professional stock car race driver, about an incident at a speedway in July where, as a practical joke, you jettisoned a baby seat from the back of your car with a Cabbage Patch doll in it?
Yeah, and what's going on right now is they're trying to say, people who are not experienced with race driving are trying to blame me, saying that I killed Kent. I didn't kill Kent. What killed Kent was the fact that he didn't belong on a major, you know, he couldn't drive right. Because if he could drive right, if he was familiar with the kind of jokes that we can, because we can do some pretty good jokes.
And but you say that he wrapped a condom around the microphone. You guys wear headsets, right?
We do, sir.
And is that to communicate with the pit?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, so you've got a headset in your helmet, and while you're driving, you can speak back on a microphone.
Yeah, we're communicating with our crew chief, we're communicating with our mechanics, and also we're talking to the owners or whoever's, you know, on the radio.
Okay. And he wrapped a used condom around this microphone?
That is correct, yeah. And so I seen a picture. They published a picture. It looked like I had to dodge a direct hit to the nose, you know. And so I said, well.
So to get him back, you got a baby seat with a Cabbage Patch doll. You jettison it out the back of your car. It hits his car, and he goes off the road. And he was killed, correct?
Yes, sir. That's right. I told his wife, Molly, when she finally called me a couple of weeks later, I said, Molly, I want you to know something. Rocky Hill told me that when they pulled Kent from the car, and Rocky said these words to me. He said, I swear to God, when we pulled Kent from the car, he had a smile on his face. And I really do believe he did. I think he had a smile on his face for two reasons. Number one, I think he smiled because he knew I'd got him good, you know. I'd got him real good. I mean, when he put that condom on my microphone, you know, like I said, you know, they got a picture of it in the Rocky Point Times in the NASCAR, or not NASCAR, but in the sanctioned body newspaper, and it looked like I said, I almost took one off the nose. So I said, well, I'm going to get this guy good. So,
can I interrupt you for a minute here, Mr. Lane? I don't know anything about automobile racing, but to jettison something as large as a car seat and a Cabbage Patch doll from the back of your car into the front of an automobile. How fast would you say you guys were going?
Well, hold on for a minute. You don't understand racing. This is a practical joke. If he was a better driver,
if you're going 190 or 200 miles an hour and a Cabbage Patch doll hits the windshield in front of you,
what does it take to reach around and just grab the doll and fling it free, you know? But here's a doll, and I don't know whether it was the Cabbage Patch doll, and if you're familiar with Cabbage Patch doll, it's got a face on it that's kind of a scary, messed up looking face, and the thing apparently went face first right into the windshield. And somebody said that it might have, because he's an inexperienced driver, because he is young, he might have looked at this face just staring at him, and it might have just, just emotionally it affected him.
Are you saying that because the Cabbage Patch doll is a funny looking doll and it's staring at him through the windshield, that he couldn't react?
Well, I mean, any experienced driver is going to reach out, grab the doll, and toss it, and keep on going. Okay?
Well, let's forget about the doll for a minute. What about that car seat hitting the front of his car?
What about it? you're an experienced driver. See, I looked, and I said, now, if Kent knows his stuff, that car seat's going to come at him. And he can just, what you can do a couple of things. There's a maneuver called a tuck and roll where you swing the wheel just gently, and you'll go right around the car seat. It'll go bouncing down the road. But he got all freaked out. Car seat hits him. Cabbage doll is staring at him. And the car left the road at a high rate of speed, hit two retaining walls. I believe it did clip a police car as well as an emergency vehicle. The good news is no one was injured.
And but Mr. Lockhart was killed.
Well, yeah, but the driver was killed. But there were no, and that's going to happen, you know. But there's no, and I'm not saying that I'm glad he died. Kent was a great guy. But I'm saying no spectators.
Do you feel responsible at all for this man's death?
No, sir, of course, I don't, because it's a practical joke. Hey, look, you're talking to me about, I can tell you about drivers who, during qualifying races, I knew a driver by the name of Bill McAvee, who would dress up a mannequin in a three-piece suit and throw it out the window of his car during a race. And, of course, the effect is, oh, you know, the driver's going to think there's a man, you know, a man in a suit is on a roadway or on a racetrack. But experienced drivers know, well, even if that is a real human, first of all, there's nobody's going to come to a race in a suit, okay? And no one wears a hat. No one certainly wears a pork pie hat anymore. If you're an experienced driver, you know that. So I'll slam right into that thing. I don't care if I run it over and kill it or, you know, mess it up, because it's not a real person. A kid like Kent Lockhart would have probably thought it was a real person, would have swerved to avoid it, and now you've got multiple deaths.
All right, hold on. I don't know anything. Like I say, I'm not a race car expert, so Mr. Lane has me at a disadvantage. Mr. Paul Lane talking with us about a race he was in last summer, where as a practical joke, he jettisoned a car seat with a Cabbage Patch doll in it out the back of the roll cage of his race car. It hit the front of a car behind him. The Cabbage Patch doll apparently impeded the view of the driver. He went off the course. The car burst into flames. Mr. Lane believes that it was a practical joke that even the driver who died understood. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Now I'm a fag and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me just get you straight. Mr. Lane, you in your experience in professional automobile racing, the drivers play practical jokes on each other. Right, to loosen each other up, and that includes throwing debris on the track.
Well, first of all, you have to understand we're not talking about during a race. We're talking about qualifying during a race, qualifying for a race. These are called group qualifying races where you have a flight of cars. You've got a group of cars, maybe 10 cars to go out together. And, yeah, we've had...
You mentioned a driver who threw a mannequin out on the road that was dressed in a three-piece suit?
Well, he had thrown it out on the road... I'll tell you another story of drivers who have wheeled baby carriages into pit lane. You know, what you do is you push a baby carriage out there in a pit lane, and the driver will go, oh my God, there's a baby, you know, there's a baby out here, you know, and then you realize there's no baby in it at all. Maybe they put a loaf of bread in there. They put something that will look like a baby. They've wrapped up something in a blanket, and you open up the blanket, and maybe it's nothing more. You know, it's maybe some steaks or something. And it's all a joke. But what they're trying to do is hang the death of this man on me because he wasn't smart enough to not get scared when he saw a Cabbage Patch looking at him. And he decides to, you know, turn the car off the road and kill himself or something. I don't know.
What do you mean kill himself? I mean, his view was obstructed.
He was a very young driver, Mr. Hendry, and he didn't know these practical jokes. And when the Cabbage Patch doll flew into the windshield and the thing is staring at him, it's just a doll. But it's got a weird enough looking face where you suddenly lose your concentration. You forget you're in a race and you're looking at something that looks, like it doesn't, you know, like it's from another world or something. And maybe you lose touch with your own reality and you just decide the best thing to do for all concerned is just to drive the car completely off the speedway and blow it to hell. I don't know. I'm just trying.
Are you saying this man killed himself? Because you say that he.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to come up with reasons why this happened, as opposed to everybody blaming me because it was because I, you know, I shot a baby seat. I shot a baby seat out onto the road.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Paul Tubby Lane, a professional race driver on the death of Kent Lockhart last summer at a speedway in South Dakota as the result of hitting a car seat that had been thrown out of Mr. Lane's car with a Cabbage Patch doll in it. What is the purpose of that joke, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, look, Mr. Henry, look, the purpose is to give the drivers a laugh. You know, when you see a car seat...
Well, what is funny about that?
I think there's a certain kind of morbid humor about a baby in a car seat all of a sudden bouncing around on a high-speed raceway.
All right, I fail to see the...
You're trying to put a really bad spin on this.
Well, a baby in a car seat bouncing around in between cars going 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it's not a real baby. It's a cabbage baby. Which, if Kent had a sense of humor, he'd be alive today. But no, he gets scared looking at the way the nose is on it and everything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stacy, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, he got one thing right. It is morbid. But to try to dissolve himself of any responsibility of this death, Mr. Lane, you're completely wrong. Had you not thrown that out,
do you know anything about
be alive? You can't blame his inexperience on your stupidity. And you've contradicted yourself.
Can I ask you something?
Now he has no sense of humor. But earlier you said he died with a smile on his face and that he got the joke. You're contradicting yourself. And simply, I was a former attorney and now a journalist, and I've heard people try to rationalize their stupidity in many ways, but this takes the cake.
Well, you know what?
I hope the South Dakota officials charge you with some type of manslaughter.
No.
And his wife sues you for wrongful death because everything that you say is completely ludicrous. I'll hang up, but, sir, you're responsible for this man's death.
Well, I don't see how you can say that.
The officials should stop that type. You don't see that.
You don't know about professional racing.
If you lost control in a racetrack, you know, going at a high rate of speed into a corner, your argument would hold some water. But the fact that you threw something out of a car, it hit his windshield, and he lost control, whether he was scared or not. You just admit it. If he was scared, that's still your fault for throwing it, not his for being scared.
Well, you wake up and smell it. I know about racing. You don't. And I know.
Well, I know a little bit about law, and you're going to be liable, and you're probably going to get a nice multi-million-dollar lawsuit slapped on yourself.
I've been in touch with his wife. I've been in touch with his wife, and I think that we're seeing eye to eye on this. I explained to Molly. That her husband was, you know, yes, you're right. I think he did see the irony in his being not smart enough to recognize all it was a doll. And I think he laughed as the car was, you know, airborne.
I'm sure he did. As he was flying to his own death, I'm sure he was cracking up.
Well, sir, I'm not trying to tell you about the law. Why are you telling me about auto racing?
Wait a minute. Any reasonable person
wouldn't jettison something out of the back of their car at a high rate of speed.
I want to ask Mr. Lane something. Mr. Lane, why would I say that a guy is of the presence of mind enough to know that it's funny even though he's going to die?
He didn't know he was going to die. All he knew is the car was airborne, you know. But then I also think he was scared. I think what got the car airborne was the fact that he got scared of this Cabbage Patch doll. And then, after the car got airborne, then he realized what an idiot he was.
Well, the idiot is the one that caused the death, sir, and that's you for jettisoning the baby. And that's all I have.
Well, thanks a lot, Clark Kent. You know, good luck with your career.
1-800, what does that mean?
Well, this guy, you know, hi, I'm a journalist. No, wait a minute, I'm a lawyer. No, wait a minute, I own a stationery store. No, wait a minute. Jesus.
Well, people do a lot of different things, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry. Oh, Eric, why don't you hold on? We got to take a break. And I would just say to you, Mr. Lane, to consider that either the man was scared or the man was laughing. I don't think he could be doing both.
You've never gotten scared and then said, oh, what am I scared about? And then realized, wait a minute, I better be scared. I think those three things happen. He was scared, then he laughed. Then he realized, well, the car's airborne and I'm going into a wall, you know.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And that was what?
That was a race last year, but what we did was there is a...
And we're back with Paul Lane, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the race car driver who had thrown a... you didn't throw, but you jettisoned. And your mechanic rigged this thing up to jettison a car seat with a Cabbage Patch doll in it out onto the racetrack during a qualifying round. And you say that this is part of the...
Mr. Henry, you have to understand racing. You got to understand race car drivers. We go at high rates of speed. Any moment could be our last. And we have fun with each other. I've seen guys, as I told you, why am I any different from Ken Lockhart? Ken Lockhart saw a cabbage doll come face first at him. I was in a, as I told you, qualifying race last spring when Bill McGuire tossed a mannequin in a, I told you, in a three-piece suit, full wingtip shoes, and a pork pie hat out onto the track. Now, I knew right away it was a mannequin. Why? Because I know racing, and I know no racing fan shows up in a hat with a feather in it. You know, I mean, this was a mannequin dressed as if it was going to an Oktoberfest. And I know that there's no racing fan in the world that looks like that. So,
all right, so you saw this mannequin in a hat with a feather in it, and you decided that's a mannequin.
Yes, sir. And because of the experience that I've got, so I ran right through it. I mean, when they looked for the, I mean, we laughed because I hit that thing going 200 miles an hour, and I think the only thing they found was the hat. They found the hat in one of the wingtips.
One 800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Let me go over to Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me? All right.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just got a question, Mr. Lane. Now, you say you know so much about racing and everything.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't take a racing expert to know that if you throw something that size out of a car going that fast, you're going to crash no matter what.
Well, if you're an experienced driver and you know that it's just for jokes and you know what to expect, you'll be fine.
I'm not an experienced driver, and I know if you throw a Cabbage Patch thing or whatever out the car, it's going to break my car and I'm going to go off the road.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me a doll is going to break your car? No, it's not. The Cabbage Patch doll is made out of, it's stuffed with, you know, it's stuffed with whatever it's stuffed with. I mean, how's that going to break your car? I guess, gentlemen.
Yeah, maybe we lost the gentleman. He had a bad cell. I think you make a good point, a doll. But what about something as large as a car seat?
Well, a car seat, look, on any given day, on any given racetrack, cars, you know, they're going to crash. We see a lot of cars crash. You're smashing into cars all the time. You're smashing into fenders, tires. You go around the track, and if they can't get the debris cleared off the track after there's been an accident, you're liable to plow right through the car, and there might be a guy still in it. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to go around it? I mean, what if you can't go around it? You got to go right through it, and that don't break the car. It's all this stuff about breaking the car. Plus, technically, that's not what you don't call it. Breaks the car. You say, well, there's been some damage to the chassis. Might have some damage to the tire or the axle. They'll go, oh, my car's broken. I think I better go take it to the gas station. I mean, that's lame.
Yeah, but we're talking, sir, with people that are not professionals.
No, I understand that.
All right, 1-800. And the point is, so you're saying a car seat is not going to damage a stock car, racing stock car.
Not if you know what you're doing. If you're a rookie driver like Kent, and the doll has just scared you because it's got the turned up nose, now your car is out of control. Now you start to laugh because you realize, you know, I'm kind of a puss, you know, a PUS. You know what? So now you're laughing, but then you realize you're on your way to two cement retaining walls and an emergency vehicle, and now you ain't laughing anymore. But then, you know, you laugh. Eventually, you just laugh.
All right, let's go over to another phone call here. I got Alan on the line. Alan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
My name is Alan.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I think this gentleman is just totally irresponsible, you know, having...
I need to ask, are these people I'm speaking with, Mr. Henry, are they all race car drivers? Or
Well, Alan...
No, I'm a you know, member of the Porsche Club of America, and you know, I
Well, that's kind of
I,
the same thing.
You know, I raced with people who respect other people, And
well,
you know,
I'm not talking about going in a car rally. I'm talking about professional stock car racing.
It's not a car rally. And you, sir, are reckless. Have been reckless. And you ought to go to jail for the rest of your life.
Sir, what are you basing that on? If you know what professional racing is all about.
Yeah,
I do it for a living,
yes,
sir.
I
do it for a living, sir.
You know what it's about. And I know that you were totally reckless when you did this. And that you killed that man.
Well, that's, sir, I do it for a living. That is my living.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
You did it for a living.
It does make a big difference.
His death.
Can I ask you a question?
I really, really object to you trying to rationalize your...
Okay, I have to ask you, Alan, to watch your language, okay? Alan?
Racing.
Alan?
Yes.
It's Phil. You need to watch your language. No S word. You understand?
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. What, Paul?
Well, first of all, I can tell by this gentleman the way he speaks. He probably... What happened to you, man? Did you get in an accident or something?
No.
Well, how come you sound like maybe you've got Bell's palsy or something?
What's Bell's palsy?
Well, I want to ask the gentleman, is one side of your face frozen or something? I don't know.
No, it's not.
Well, then how come... Look, you drive Porsches, and you say
no,
you race...
I don't drive Porsches.
You don't?
I said I was a member of the Porsche Club. I didn't say it. Didn't say that I drove Porsches. Okay?
Well, why are you in the Porsche Club if you don't own one?
That's a good question.
Are you going to answer it?
I drive Chevys.
Oh, man, that's like going from the frying pan into the fire. Not only does he not drive Porsche, he drives a Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sir, I wouldn't get in a Chevy if I had to go real bad and it was a one-way to the biggest restroom in the world.
All right, Alan, thank you very much. It sounds like you're in a high wind or something.
Yeah, the high wind is the bullcrap that he's been spewing. And I can tell you right now.
All right, hold on. Alan, thank you. 1-8, that's pretty bizarre. The guy doesn't drive Porsches, he drives a Chevy.
Well, you don't understand. Driving a Chevrolet is it's the lowest thing you can do.
What do you mean? Chevy?
Yeah, I'm aware. Where are you coming from?
What do you drive?
I drive a Ford. I drive the only car there is to drive, a Ford. I don't drive a Buick. I sure as hell don't drive a Chevy. I would get out of the racing business if the only sponsorship I could acquire was for me to drive a Chevrolet. I would just as soon go out the way Kent did. And you know, when I think about it, and Kent drove a Chevy, and he used to take a lot of ribbing from us. And I'm wondering now, when I think about it, if it wasn't so much the fact that the Cabbage Patch doll flew into the windshield and he's looking face first at the turned up face, or if he just suddenly realized, you know what, I'm in a Chevy. What's the point?
I know you're very upset.
I'm very upset because I thought he was like a kid brother to me.
But because the guy's in a Chevy, what, he's going to kill himself?
I think that because he was driving in a Chevrolet, he probably thought, you know what? My career didn't get out to a hill of turd.
So he just turns the car and rolls off the freeway and kills himself.
Yes. Yes. That's what I believe.
1-800-449-8686. Dudley, go ahead, sir.
Hey, dude, what's your problem, man? Why are you trying to rationalize this on something you did? Screwed up somebody's life and his family.
I didn't
give you the right to throw something out of a car.
How'd I screw up his life? He's dead.
Yeah, you didn't screw it up?
Well,
you did. His fault.
No, it's not my fault. Because
it's his fault.
It was his fault for not recognizing that it wasn't some kind of a... What?
I hope you never drive again in any car.
Let me ask you.
Racetrack.
I bet you drive a Chevrolet.
I drive a Monte Carlo.
Yep, that's General Motors.
That's a Chevrolet. Yeah, that's a Chevy.
Boy, that figures.
Okay,
yeah,
look,
well,
let's not...
Because I drive a Chevy means I'm a bad person?
No, I didn't say you're a bad person. It means that you don't know a lot about cars. Okay?
I know more about cars than you know how to drive.
Look at... I'm alive today. Kent Lockhart was in a Chevrolet. What's that tell
you?
Thank
you.
Score
it.
Swish.
Wait, let's talk a little bit about the car seat that was jettisoned. You claim that when that, when Mr. Lane, you claim that when that Cabbage Patch doll hit the windshield of Mr. Lockhart's car, that he got scared of the Cabbage Patch doll?
Well, I think looking at that thing staring back at him caused him to suddenly go, you know, what's the point?
The point is it doesn't matter if it's a Cabbage Patch doll or a baseball or a football or a basketball. You freaked him out, period.
Yeah, I freaked him out or he got freaked out by something that he should have known was a doll. How come I know?
How did he know it was a doll? It happened so fast, he didn't know if it was a blimp or a baseball or a football.
He's looking right at it. The face went.
How do you know what he was looking at?
Because
he was looking in his mirror, waiting for to see if he's coming around him.
No, they saw. They said that when they found a roll cage, the Cabbage doll was just still staring at him.
Dude, I hope you never drive a race car again. And if you do, I'm gonna sue a NASCAR.
You're good. I don't drive for NASCAR.
Thank God.
Well, you know what, sir?
I know why too.
Yeah, and I know why you shouldn't be driving tonight yourself, because you've been drinking your dinner. Go ahead, admit it.
I just got off work, dude.
Yeah, what's your job? Wine tasting?
I drive to Roadway Express.
Score it. Swish.
What did you say, Dudley?
Roadway Express, dude.
You drive Roadway Express? So, in other words, you take people down to the airport after you drink your dinner?
It's a semi, dude. It's a semi.
All right, check it out, man. This guy, Kent Lockhart, died with a smile on his face. That's more than I can
say. He did. He was probably... Never mind.
Yeah, he was probably relieved that he didn't have to drive a Chevy anymore.
All right. Dudley, thanks. 1-800-449-8686.
I ain't kidding.
Yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Survivor, Compton. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with me for just a few more minutes is Paul Tubby Lane. Mr. Lane, let's talk about the death of Kent Lockhart in that race. You were driving ahead of him. For whatever reason, he died. You say as a practical joke, you threw a Cabbage Patch doll and a car seat out of your car as a joke. Did the other drivers think it was funny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everyone said, boy, you got him good. You know, I mean, we found out that Kent died. And I said, well, you know. But everybody kind of went, you know, on about their business. It didn't really matter. I mean, it does matter, but, you know, and then his wife calls me, you know, 3 weeks later, and I said, well, look, you know, and her name's Molly, and she's a very nice lady. I said, if Kent had, you know, had a little bit of a, you know, didn't get scared of Cabbage Patch dolls, I said, well, what's that like? What was that like being married to him? And she said, well, you know, he was kind of a, got scared about stuff. So she and I, you know, she knows it's a big misunderstanding. And
is she going to sue?
Well, I didn't talk her out of it, but I think we have an understanding, you know, that.
An understanding to what?
Well, I'm looking after her. I'm looking in on her and the kids, you know.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. And you knew when that driver threw that mannequin out on the track last year, dressed in a pork pie hat and lederhosen, that it wasn't a race fan.
Of course not. There's no stock car fan that looks like he's going to have a stein of beer in a beer garden, or that looks like he's you know, on his way to a slap dance festival.
All right, let me talk to Gina. Gina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Gina?
Hello? Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
This gentleman that threw the Cabbage Patch doll out and the infant car seat, you're a driver, correct?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
A professional car driver.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
When you're racing, your adrenaline's pumping. This the guy that you threw the doll out to and the infant seat to. Do you think he was thinking? I don't understand how you think that he thought it was funny.
Well, any other driver
flipped out.
Any other driver is going to look at a cabbage doll, looking at him through the windshield, and he's going to go, "Do you get that thing?" He'll grab it by the hair and fling it, and keep on going. But this guy, because he probably is not experienced enough driver. So, have you ever seen a Cabbage Patch doll, ma'am? They've got a the face frightens you and. I'm sure he at that and plus, I know that he probably was depressed over the fact that he was stuck driving a Chevy, and you put the two together, and he just decided that
Well, you keep saying that he decided to kill himself.
Well, I don't think... let me put it this way. I don't know if he tried to kill himself, but I don't think it's a moment where you are actually celebrating life when you say there's a Cabbage Patch looking at me and I'm in a Chevy.
Okay, talk. Just let's pull all that baloney out of there about him killing himself. When you are in a race, your adrenaline's pumping. You just want to win. He was not thinking about if he wanted to commit suicide, he would have just crashed the car himself.
Well, ma'am, are you?
Look at both of you guys. Hold on, I got to take a break. Gina and Paul. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with the rest of Gina's call and Paul Tubby Lane on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Gina, go ahead, real fast. Is Gina there?
Yes, I'm Gina.
Go ahead, real fast.
Am I back on? Okay, real fast.
Yeah.
I would like to. I think that the gentleman, the man that died in the car race, get his wife on the line. Let's find out. Get some credibility for this guy.